Is it okay if I say I have a wonderful message this morning? Christ in you. When Adam sinned in the garden, Adam and Eve, sin came into the picture and it broke fellowship with God. It broke their communion with God. God could no longer dwell with them like He had wanted to. You know, it said the Lord came and walked with them in the cool of the evening, and I'm sure they had some wonderful times together. But sin changed all of that, just like it does today. Sin separates fellowship from God. It cuts us off from a relationship with God. That's why sin has to be cleansed. We have to be forgiven. It has to be cleansed because it separates. The Scripture says that sin bringeth forth death. And it does do that. And it separates. And the Lord had a plan to, thank God this morning, to redeem us. I believe when He gave man life, you know, He formed man. I don't believe in evolution. I believe that God is our Creator. I believe He formed man out of the dust of the earth. And it said He breathed in his nostrils and man became a living soul. God gave him life. And I believe when God created man that He recognized that He was giving man a choice. He made man as a free will, a moral agent. He can make a choice. He makes decisions. God doesn't force anybody to live for Him or serve Him. He gives us that choice and He respects that choice. He will not violate that. He will not force people. It's all on a free will basis. You remember He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man would hear My voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with Me." And that's the way it is. The Lord doesn't knock the door down. He doesn't force the door open, but He says He stands at the door and knocks. And I know God is faithful to that. I know I can look back in my own life and I recognize times that God was knocking on my heart's door where I felt conviction. I felt a need. I felt I wasn't right in my spirit and in my life, and I wasn't ready to meet God. I felt those things. Well, that's the Lord knocking on our heart's door. That's what that is. Sometimes people don't recognize it, but that is the Lord knocking on our spirit, on our heart's door, waiting patiently, and we begin to feel like we're missing something in life, and we begin to sense that we're missing, something's not quite right here. That's all good. That's the Lord knocking on our hearts. Sometimes it takes hard things sometimes to get people's attention. The Lord uses that. Sometimes I know Brother Lauren Busby, it took the death of their daughter before he began to realize and sense his need of God. Hard, hard thing. Drunk driver came and hit the car head on, and there were several young girls that died in that wreck, and he testified later. I heard him testify not many years ago that through that, God began to deal with him and talk to him and help him to see his need. God goes to great extents to get people's attention. He does different things to try to get man's attention. And because He knows the value of a soul. He knows the value. And the Scripture said, "What would it profit if a man gain the whole world and lose his soul?" The Lord this morning and this whole plan of salvation was trying to get communion back. trying to get man. And you remember he sent the law. And he told them to build a tabernacle. That was God's heart and his craving trying to dwell with mankind. And he set up a way where he could live in that tabernacle that they built. Remember the cloud came down, the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and then later when Solomon built they had a stone temple, the glory of the Lord descended and the priests couldn't minister. That was God trying to dwell among his people. That's what he's wanted. He's wanted to dwell with his people, with people. That's what's been his desire through the ages of time. But he wasn't satisfied with that. That's not what he wanted, just to dwell in that tabernacle out there. He had something more in mind. All that was pointing towards was this right here. Christ in you. The hope of glory. That's what the Lord really wants. That's what he really desires. You remember when he died on the cross? The Lord said it was finished and he died. He gave out. It says the veil of the temple was rent in twain, which signified that God moved out of that temple. No longer dwells in temples made with hands. The song says, though beautiful by art. But God in mercy condescends to dwell within my heart. When he died on the cross and that veil in the temple, it rent in twain, it came apart, it signified that God was moving out of that tabernacle. He didn't dwell in there after that. He didn't dwell in that literal temple. You know, people talk about Israel now and all this type of thing about Jerusalem. And God is not interested in a temple in Jerusalem anymore. He's beyond that. He's past that. He's interested in people. That is His temple. That's what He wants His tabernacle to be this morning. I wanted to get a scripture in Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. And I'd like to start reading at the 31st verse, a wonderful prophecy. It said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord." So he said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant." They had the old covenant. Jeremiah was under the old covenant. And that was where God dwelt in the tabernacle. And he said, "It's not going to be according to that covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Folks, that's us today. That's the new covenant that we're under. That's what Christ came to bring. That's a place, he said, where my law will be in their inward parts. And I will write it in their hearts. Oh, you know, this morning that God, it's not just an exterior law. It's not just a book of rules and regulations. But it's something that he wants to be inside of us. It's something that he wants our affection. It's something that's working in our affections, in our inward parts. And write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. You know, under the law was good, but it was just a schoolmaster to what? Bring us to Christ. The law was good in a sense because it helped us to recognize the knowledge of sin. You know, that's where we need to come to at a point in our lives. That's the only way we can get saved is when we come to a knowledge that we recognize that I've sinned, that I've failed God, that I'm not what God wants me to be in my heart and my life. There's some people that never come to that place. They just blame society, or they blame people, or they blame their parents, or they blame this and that for the way their life is going and the choices they're making. And they never come to a knowledge that I've sinned against the law. That's what the law was for. And it's very important. It said the law was given as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It wasn't the fulfillment. The Lord had so much better for us that we could have these laws written in our heart, in our lives. In verse 34 it says, "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord." From the least of them. I don't know where you think you're at on that spectrum this morning. From the least to the greatest. They shall all know me. That's what this scripture is referring. I don't believe it's not saying that we shouldn't have instruction or teachers or encouragement or that type of thing. But what to me this scripture is saying is that every one of us have access to have the law written on the tables of our hearts, inside of us. Christ in us, in my body. Not just in theory, not just because it sounds good, but I can have Christ actually living inside of this body. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I can have Him in me, and that's what this scripture is saying, I believe. Everyone has that opportunity this morning. It's not hard. It's not complicated. It's not tough to figure out. He said, "Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." This is the New Testament. This was Jeremiah prophesying what you and I have access to today. A new covenant. When Christ came, He brought a new covenant. He brought a higher plane. He brought a higher law than the old law. You know, the old law said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus said unto us, I say unto you, love your enemies. Because Christ can live in us now. It's not just us struggling to do it, but it's Christ in us. If we just allow the Lord to live in us, He can do the work. He can give us the power. He can help us to overcome any difficulty, any trial, any circumstances, any frustration, any thing that you and I face in life, and there are some things that we face in life. But Christ in us can help you and I to overcome. It's not us. It's Christ in us. It's not what I can muster up. It's not me just gritting my teeth. It's not me just forcing myself. But as I yield myself to Him, and I allow Him to come in and dwell in me, and I allow His Spirit to work in my heart, it's His power. It's His words. It's His blessing and His favor in my heart. It's not us. It's not within our ability. I can't forgive my enemy as the Lord wants me to, just within my own power, my own ability. I can't even forgive my own loved ones within myself when they do things that are contrary. It takes something greater. It takes the power of Christ in me for me to be able to truly do that. And for you to do that. For you to be what God wants you to be, it's going to take Him inside of you. It's not just, we should do this and this is what we ought to do. No, it's something that's springing up inside. It's springing up within us when Christ is dwelling in us. Now I want to get a scripture. Jesus in the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, He mentioned His relationship. You remember Philip said to Jesus, asked Him the question, He said, "Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. It suffices us. Show us the Father." And Philip asked Him and said, he made comment, he said, "Have I been with you so long a time and you have not seen the Father?" Can I tell you this morning, I've seen the Father. Not in a fleshly way, but in my spirit. I've seen the Heavenly Father. I felt His love, and I've seen Him exhibited. And He said here in the 8th verse, He said, Philip saith unto Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? If you've seen me, and they did, they saw Christ, they saw Him, they heard His words, they saw Him. Christ was the express image of God. He was the express image of the Father. Now I want to drop on down. He mentioned, he said, verse 10, he said, Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Even Christ Himself, the Father was in Him, dwelling in Him. The Spirit was in Him, doing the works. It wasn't just Christ's body in the natural sense. It was His relationship with God. God was dwelling in it. Christ always pointed people to the Father. The words that I say unto you, they're not mine. They're what the Father is giving. I'm telling you what the Father gave to me. The works that I do, He said, the Father shows me the works to do. And He followed that. He pointed people always back. It was the Father that was working in Him. In verse 11, He said, Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the work's sake. This relationship here is not just for Christ, but it's for all of His followers. It's for all those that believe that you and I can be in the Father, and the Father can be in us through His Word and through His Holy Spirit, actually taking His abode in us, living in us. We're His temples in the New Testament, and He wants to live in us and dwell in us, and we have to give Him that authority and that invitation, that openness. You know, if we begin to take our own way and do our own thing, and let me go on down. Acts, first chapter of Acts, He mentions to him. In the 4th verse, it said, And being assembled together with them, Acts 1 and 4, He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, for which saith He, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. They were to receive a baptism. One place the Lord told him, he told His disciples, I believe back in John the 14th chapter, He said, He talked about the Spirit being with them, but He said, it's going to be in you. It was with them in the sense, while they was with Christ, the Spirit was with them, but there was coming a day where it was going to be in them, working in their hearts and in their lives. And that's what He's encouraging them here. Tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And He said you'd receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Chapter 2 and verse 1. It said, And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now here it said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. There was something that transpired that day that was new. There was something there. God had worked with His Spirit in different times under the Old Testament. But there was something here on the day of Pentecost that was new, that was the Spirit of God that had always been working with men. But this was something new where He was dwelling and filling them. And it said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That means something happened spiritually, took place to them that day. There was an infilling of their bodies. There was an infilling into their hearts, into their minds. And they were filled with the Spirit of God. And that means that Christ was in them. And the Lord blessed them. And the Lord helped them. Now this speaking in tongues, and this word I believe is really referring to a foreign language. It's not just something unintelligible. When you read here on down through the book of Acts, there was men out of every nation there, out of different countries that spoke different languages. And when they heard the gospel, they heard, every man heard it in their own language. They were able to understand. That's what the gift of tongues is. It's not something unintelligible that people can't understand. It's a real language. And that's what they were hearing. They were able to get a hold of that. And they heard the gospel message. In verse 37 it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Oh, isn't that wonderful to have a response like that? Oh, they heard the message, and then they said, "Well, what do we do now?" Well, I'll tell you what Peter told them. Peter said unto them, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Repent." That means to turn away from our sins, to acknowledge that we sinned and we failed, and that our life is not what God wants it to be. That's what He's saying to them. Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The Holy Spirit makes people holy. It makes people pure. It makes people live right. It makes people treat their brothers right. It makes people forgive. The Holy Spirit gives power and enables people to do what's right. That is the fruit and the evidence of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. And you can see it. You can see it in people's lives. When people get to recognizing they failed and they begin to seek God, you begin to see some changes taking place in their heart and their life. You begin to see they don't do the things that they one time did. They have a change. What is that? That's the Lord working in their heart. That's the Spirit of God working, writing His law upon the table of their heart and their spirit. And they begin to yield themselves unto the Lord. That's the Spirit of God working through conversion and sanctification to help His people to be what we should be. The promises unto you and to your children. Oh, don't you know that includes us this morning? The promise is still there for us this morning. It may not happen. I mean, there may not be 120 people in one place and we may not hear the rushing mighty wind. I feel like that was a special witness and time for the early morning church. They recognized. But I want to say something transpires when we do. When we repent, when we believe, and when we begin to yield our hearts and our lives, there is a feeling that we get. There is, the Lord hears that, and He recognizes that. But there's a part that you and I have to do, and that's giving ourselves to Him, repenting and believing and opening our heart's door. And not being stubborn and self-willed and going our own way. You can't be self-willed and do your own thing and have the Spirit guiding and directing your life. You've got to yield yourself to it. You've got to seek after it. But the promise is unto us and to our children and to all that are far off. Oh, it includes everybody, doesn't it? It includes the least to the greatest. It includes every nationality. It includes every child, person and girl, regardless of where they're at and their abilities, regardless of where they came from in their lives. That's the gospel this morning, the good news, that Christ wants to dwell in us and to live in us. and to work in us this morning. And I'm thankful this morning. I think about the Scripture also in Romans 12. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present the Lord, just like sin separated us from God. God can't come into a vessel that's filled with sin. His Spirit can't abide and condone a life of sin. Sin, and that's why the cleansing blood of Jesus, that's why Jesus had to die and pay the price. And that's why we have to be cleansed. That's why we have to repent. When we do, the Lord forgives us. And then we become a temple that God's Spirit can go into at that point and at that moment. And the Lord wants us this morning to present. In Romans 12 chapter, He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Present your body, your temple, your mind, your heart, your spirit. Present it to God, a holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Oh, seek after it this morning. Infilling of the Holy Spirit, we all need it. We need it to be our guide. We need power. We need to recognize the difference of good and evil. And we need to be able to recognize temptation when it presents itself. That comes through the Spirit of God. That's where our lifeline is at this morning. That's where our help is at. When God sends His Spirit into our hearts, it helps us to see. It helps us to recognize God. It helps us. There are also another place there. John, the 14th chapter, he says, the world doesn't see me, but you see me. Let me get that real quick. In John, the 14th, I believe it's the 14th chapter, 21st verse, it says, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now that manifest means to make known. God will make known himself to us. If we have a desire to keep his commandments and we've yielded ourselves and given ourselves to him, he will make known himself to us. In verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Don't have to teach everyone his neighbor anymore. Every one of us can have access. Every one of us can know God. Every one of us can have an understanding of who God is. Every one of us can see through the Spirit things that God wants us to see and recognize. In verse 26 it says, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Oh, he's a teacher this morning. If you want to learn, if your heart is crying out for God, if you're desiring your spirit to have a closer walk with God and to know Him and to walk with Him, God will reveal. He'll manifest. He'll teach. He'll instruct you. But you and I have to present ourselves and we have to seek after Him. We have to look after Him and call after Him and present our bodies and ourselves to Him. Lord, I don't want to live my life to myself. I don't want to just go my own way. Oh, all the things that I thought would bring me satisfaction, they're not really fulfilling me. They don't really satisfy what my spirit. But you satisfy. The Lord satisfies. The Holy Ghost satisfies the longing in our heart this morning. The longing that every one of us to be in touch with our God and our Maker. Another scripture I wanted to get in Colossians, the first chapter. Bear with me this morning. I had a lot of scriptures, but they all bear out to the same thing. Colossians, the first chapter, and the 25th verse, it says, Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made known to His saints, made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is this mystery He's talking about? What's been hid from ages past? What's been in dark, concealed in ages past that now that's made manifest to His saints, that His saints are able to see and able to get a hold of? What's He talking about? What mystery is it? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. That's the power that God can live in me, in my mortal flesh, in my body, in my mind, in my affections, in my spirit, God living in me. That's what He desires and that's what He wants. And that's what we want this morning. We want Christ to dwell in us. Ephesians, the third chapter. And I want to say this morning that these are not just isolated texts. These are not just a few isolated texts. The Scriptures bear this out very, very strongly. Ephesians 3, 16. It said that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Here we go again, the inner man. We need Him inside. We need Him right here in us, living in us. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Do you believe it this morning? Do you believe the message? Do you believe the Scriptures here that I'm reading you this morning? Do you believe there's a real power from God that will fill our bodies, our temple, our mind, and our heart, that will help us to live for Him, that will give us power? He said that your hearts may dwell, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Do you believe it this morning? Do you believe that God loves you? Do you believe that He's dwelling in you? Do you believe that He's working in your heart and working in your life? It's very vital for us this morning to believe. To believe that it's the Lord working, that the Lord works in us. We enter into that. We have that and we believe that. And we have the fullness. And it's talked about here. To know the love of Christ with patches of knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Lord, help us today to believe. You know, when I think about that height and that depth and that breadth, I think about the greatness of the love of God this morning to every one of us. If we could only see, if we could only get a hold of. There, in another thing I caught in the Greek, in the Greek word where it's talking about, I will not leave you comfortless. The dialogue says, I will not leave you orphans. God doesn't leave us just as orphans to just make out and do the best we can. He's called us unto the adoption of sons, that we can be adopted into His family, that we can have His Spirit living in us, that we can be a part of His family. You know, family traits run in families, don't they? They're genes. You see that. You see characteristics of children. You see likenesses of dad and mom in the children. That's characteristics. It's the same way in the family of God. Spiritually, there's likenesses. We're born into His family, into His kingdom. He hadn't left us as orphans. You haven't left us here just to do the best we can and live a life of failure and disappointment and live a life in sin and bondage and at the end miss it. He's provided you and I with an access, a comforter. If we'll follow the prescription, what He's laid out, repent, believe, present our bodies, give ourselves wholly to Him, He'll take up His abode in us. And dwell in us and live in us. That's the gospel this morning message, pure and simple. That's the desire of the Lord's heart this morning. He wants to work in our lives. He wants to direct us. He wants to comfort us when we're at a loss. That's what the comforter is called, the comforter. He wants to give us inner strength to be able to do the right things, to make the right decisions, the right choices. You know it takes inner strength to do that? It takes inner power. It takes inner fortitude to do that. And we don't have, as people, we don't have it within ourselves. We need the Spirit of Christ living and dwelling in us, giving us that strength and that ability and that power. The promise is unto us today. I'm so thankful that God hasn't changed. I'm so thankful to live under the New Testament dispensation. I'm so thankful this morning that God has knocked on my heart's door and given me a space to repent. And, you know, someone the other day was telling me they thought I ought to just do a certain thing because somebody wasn't doing quite right. And I thought, well, what if God would have done that to me? You know, the Lord could have just wiped me off the face of the earth so quickly, so fast. But, oh, He gave me opportunity. He gave me chance. And you know, He has given me life to this present day. The Scripture says, in Him we live and move and have our being. If we're alive today, we owe the Lord a debt of thanks this morning. If we have breath in our lungs this morning and mind and our thoughts in our mind and our heart and able to go, we owe the Lord thanks this morning. He is the giver of life, and He can take away life whenever when He so chooses. But you know what? He works with people. He's very patient. He's very long-suffering because His love is trying to draw. His love is trying to pull them in. Peter talks about that too. He said, the long-suffering of God is salvation. The Lord is long-suffering. He's patient with people. Let's let Christ live in us today. It's a wonderful life when Christ is living in us. His desires. Another scripture I wanted to share with you also. Philippians, the second chapter. Oh, this is such a wonderful verse to me. It has blessed me so many times. Philippians, the second chapter. And the 13th verse, it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. What does that mean to us this morning? It is God that works in you both to will. You know, the Lord works and gives us the desires to do His will when we're seeking Him and when our heart is open to Him. He will give us the desires to do His will, His bidding, whatever He wants us to do. He works in our heart. He works in our spirit. He'll give us the desires to do His will. It's not just an outward law that comes, you got to do this. No, it's an inward law that works in us. A desire in us to do and accomplish what God's purposes are in our hearts and our lives. To will means to give the desire to. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do. Isn't that beautiful this morning? The Lord is looking for vessels. He's looking for yielded hearts. He's looking for temples, clean temples that are cleaned by the blood of Jesus, that have been forgiven, that He can come into and dwell in and live. And that is our hope of eternal life today, is when Christ is dwelling in us and living in us. Let's believe it this morning. Let's give ourselves to it. Let's be receptive. Let's not allow other things in our life to come in and take precedence that begins to crowd the Spirit of God out. I was also encouraged with Paul's reading this last week. He talks about, he mentions it over and over. He said, I would that you would increase more and more and bound more and more. There's no stopping place. Just keep yielding. Keep giving yourself. Keep humbling. When the old flesh comes by and he says, oh, you don't want to take the Lord's way. You don't want to follow the way of the Lord. You better take your own way. That's the way that brings happiness. No. Let's put down the old flesh, put down self. Lord, I want you to have your will and your way in my life. Christ in you. Isn't it wonderful this morning? I told you I had a wonderful message. It is truly wonderful. God, all the prophets that he sent, all the law, all everything, all the dealings, all the workings that he's done with mankind is for this very purpose right here. That Christ be in you. Amen. Pray for me.